This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Row One Seat One podcast. I am here with a special guest this week. I am here with Ethan Page. He is going to be debuting, well, his show is going to be debuting on Access Television. He is a proud member of the Impact roster, and we're going to be going into that in a little while. But Ethan, welcome to the show.
How you doing, man?
It's great to have you on, sir. Ethan, tell us a little about, because you grew up in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, correct?
Yep.
That must have been a little bit different being a Canadian wrestling fan than most of us American wrestling fans. Tell us about your kind of an upbringing as a wrestling fan and how you sort of fell in love with the sport.
Well, my dad watched wrestling, and I kind of just had it on the TV since I was a kid. So seeing guys like King Kong Bundy scared the crap out of me and kind of got my attention. Guys like Hulk Hogan and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. My favorite, my dad would always tell me, was the Macho Man, and I had his bandana and all that stuff. So, I mean, that's really when the bug started, was very young.
Now, did you end up going to shows as a kid, or was it later on that you started going to shows?
Well, I went to some shows, like WWF shows, as a kid with my dad and my grandfather, but like independent shows, or by choice, choosing to go to wrestling shows. Like, I would hit them sporadically every year or two, like see a SmackDown when it would come live to Hamilton, but to actually like go to independent shows and seek out other wrestling, I think I was like 14 or 15.
Now, was there a strong independent scene in Ontario when you were coming up?
Well, when I turned 16, that's when the commission actually left Ontario, so that's when kids my age could actually become wrestlers. So the scene kind of started booming then, because the restrictions for running independent shows changed instantly. So, like, I was the perfect age.
Now, I'm really fascinated by commissions. And I know commission states in the United States are just pretty much no one runs them, basically. How restrictive was it, you know, in Canada, you know, with the commission, and what sort of restrictions do they have in place?
Honestly, before I started, you'd probably have to talk to someone like a Bobby Roode or Eric Young, because they were on the independents during that era. And all I remember is people telling me how rough it was to be able to actually run a show, and it was pretty much near impossible.
Now, you decided to get trained at 16?
Yeah, I actually left Taekwondo and pursued wrestling kind of like behind my parents' back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even though your parents were kind of the ones who got you into it, who trained you? What was that like, especially at such a young age? Because that's really rare for someone at such a young age to decide to go into training.
There was a school, and one of my high school friends actually attended this wrestling school, so he was the one that kind of introduced me to it. He's still wrestling locally as an independent wrestler. Scotty O'Shea.
Okay.
But so through him I found the school, and then from that kind of opened up the world of wrestling. And Michael Elgin kind of swung through that school for a couple, maybe a year or two. And then through him, he kind of introduced U.S. Indies to me, and then the rest is history.
So at what point did you decide to start traveling? Because you're known as Mr. Road Warrior. And at what point did you decide, you know, this could be something that could really start to take seriously?
Oh, pretty much within the first year or two.
Really? Okay. Where did you, so did you pretty much stay around Ontario, or did you, because I see you all around the United States, you're basically an American citizen at this point.
I remember, I want to say within the first year or two, I was wrestling for IWA Mid-South, and I was in, like, Chicago.
At the age of what, 17, 18?
Yeah, maybe 18, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Because I did the Young Lions Cup, and I think I was 18 or 19 for that. And that was in Philadelphia.
Wow. That's a really... Now, if you knew then what you know now, basically, right? Do you think... I mean, do you think you were taken advantage of in those days? Or do you think you had a pretty good head on your shoulders in those days? I mean, how do you look back on that stage in your career?
I mean, compared to what guys have to put up with now, I sound like an old man, but it was much rougher back then. We weren't getting our like trans paid for, I think I was wrestling 7 years before someone paid for my gas to go to any show.
Seriously.
And it's like a long.
That's coming long from Canada too.
So like anywhere we go is anywhere good is up to 8 hours usually.
So your would you say your first break was that Young Lions Cup?
Yeah, that would be my first like American break, and okay. While I was doing some IWM units out there, kind of making a name for myself, but I wouldn't really say it did anything spectacular.
How did you get on Quack's radar?
Claudio Castagnoli wrestled me for a promoter in Canada named Steve Brown.
Okay.
And he put us in the ring together, and he pretty much told him just to put me in the Young Lions Cup.
So from there, you're at such a young age, you have a Young Lions Cup under your belt, you have IWA Mid-South under your belt. Where do you go from there? At the age of 18, 19, 20, where's your career evolving from there?
I was just doing like random DGUSA shows for Gabe or Ring of Honor shows, which ended up with like a very short-lived Monster Mafia run in Ring of Honor. And then eventually signing a contract with Gabe for Evolve.
Now, I remember you in Evolve. Do you look back on that time fondly, or was it a learning experience, or how do you view that time in your career?
For a while, I viewed it as like the greatest part of my career. So I definitely look back on it fondly and can say that I left my mark on that company and
certainly
that
did.
Like, era of wrestling. Whether like the business went sour or not, like I'm still proud of my performances and the work I put in.
And you had some great feuds there too. I know the Viceland doc just came out. We highlighted your feud with Darby and reminded me of, oh man, that thing was absolutely great. And just, you know, what you guys went through and stuff like that. What were some of the feuds and memories that you treasured from your time at Evolve and things you picked up from there?
Everything with Johnny Gargano, getting to work with him and the promos I got to cut leading up to it, kind of getting to play like a man with a mask being the fake good guy. It was just like weirdly I was acting for an entire year. So that really helped me being comfortable with the camera and playing a character and a different role.
Do you have a theater background?
Well, I mean, I did... three stage plays in my high school, but that's it. I didn't like go to classes or there was no extracurricular other than just the high school play.
Sure. But because you emote extremely well as a wrestler and you have a lot of various sides of you. There's, you know, when I talk to my friends, there's, you know, different sides of Ethan Page that, you know, you're going to see in the ring and different Ethan Pages that you're going to see in the ring. And especially lately, we've been seeing shit kicker Ethan, which I'll go into a little bit later. But there's a lot of Ethan Pages that you see and, you know, Evolve, you know, you're right. You kind of got to show that different side of yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, like you were saying, like, what did you learn? It like really taught me how to play multiple things, and yeah, it was a good experience. And I have to mention the feud with Darby Allin too.
Now, from there, from Evolve, you pretty much remained a stalwart on the independents. It seems like everywhere I look, I see Ethan Page's booked. That obviously is intentional, but. That has to be a hardship in some respect. I know you have a family. How do you balance the two? Because it has to be completely just heartbreaking. Because I know you have a small, you have a baby, right?
She's going to be 2 in February.
But you're booked every weekend, everywhere, at least 3, if not 4 shots a weekend. How do you balance that family time and being a stalwart in the indies?
Honestly, I just look at it like a real job. Mm-hmm. Most people work 5 days a week, 9 to 5. During that time, I get to spend time with my daughter and my wife. So that's like a luxury, I guess, that most people don't get. And then I kind of forfeit my weekends and sometimes a few weekdays every week to be able to afford that lifestyle. So I would say, as long as I'm willing to give up the time when I'm home, my family seems to be able to manage.
Now, you've really become a major player in a lot of the indies around the country. Where are some of your favorite indies to go to and some of the places where you really become a fixture? Because I know a few, but what is your highlight list?
I would say AIW in Cleveland, Black Label Pro. It's usually in the Crown Point area. Freelance Wrestling in Chicago. I love going out for Beyond Wrestling and Limitless Wrestling and like the Providence road area. Oh man, there's so many. And like obviously going out to LA for Bar Wrestling is a lot of fun. And anytime I get to visit New York, and like Impact travels too, so we get to hit a lot of towns as well.
Now, C4, is that your promotion or you have a hand in that?
C4 is out in Ottawa.
Okay.
My promotion is in Hamilton. It's called Alpha One.
Right? Alpha One, yeah. Alpha One is your promotion. That's your baby. Now, talk about Alpha One. I'm sorry, I got completely confused. I apologize. Talk about Alpha One as well, kind of running your own promotion and, you know, how you see things from the promoter's perspective as well.
I look at it as like a creative outlet, getting to write storylines and actually having a choice in what happens. Whereas a professional wrestler, you don't always get to choose your storylines or your characters or what happens. So I kind of get that little power trip and get to choose what the fans get to see. And I try and create the best storylines to be able to keep drawing the houses that we have. And we've been running for almost 10 years. This will be our 10th. Quote-unquote WrestleMania show in November, on November 17th in Hamilton, Ontario. So, I mean, we're doing good, and it's exciting to be able to see what I write down on paper come to life.
Now, you have a group of your guys as well who seem to be, you know, seem to travel with you, and you seem to have taken under your wing, kind of taken that Papa Bear mentality a little bit with some of your guys. Do you feel a sense of responsibility to other Canadian wrestlers or other wrestlers, you know, in that Alpha One family and kind of pass on what you've learned at this point? Or talk about your sense of responsibility to those wrestlers and to other wrestlers kind of in your purview.
I just try and look out for people the way that, you know, guys looked out for me and, you know, pay it forward. And plus, I know how rough it is because I've done it. So if I can make someone's life a little easier, get someone a booking or an opportunity, I think they deserve exposure or, yeah, I don't know. Why get to this level and not try and elevate the people around you? Plus, if they get more popular, they do Alpha One. So then they make Alpha One more popular. It kind of just feeds itself.
Who are some of your favorite wrestlers to wrestle on the independent circuit? Because you seem to be working everybody and anybody.
Oh, man. Who are my favorites to wrestle? You know, anytime I just get to tag with Josh Alexander mm-hmm. on the independent, it's fun. You know, it's a high ticket price, so I understand why it doesn't happen that often. Anytime I get to wrestle against Kobe Durst, I know it'll be an easy night. And
you guys killed really it at that set. WrestleMania show at Black Label, by the way.
Just thank you very much.
Match of the show right there. It was just unbelievable.
Thank you very much. And that's just like the tip of the iceberg. If we had more time to be able to put something together or, you know, that weekend I had 8 other matches. but yeah, we just had another one on their show called, oh, what was it? Dragons and Dropkicks, I think.
Yep.
and it was a Last Man Standing match. That I would go out of your way to see that one.
Oh, seen it. It's great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you guys, your feud there is fantastic, and your feud carrying in, you know, and you really helped Kobe grow as a wrestler, and just the guys you've taken under your wing, the Space Pirates, they've really grown, and they're just there's a great Canadian influx that's coming into Black Label Pro, and I'm going to call you responsible. But those guys are really proving themselves, and I think you have a little bit to do with it.
Well, I don't want to take all the credit. I obviously saw talent. That's why I tried to help it. Mm-hmm. So they would have gotten there eventually. I just tried to make it a little easier for them. But yeah, I'd be happy to give them all my stamp of approval, and they're all doing good. It's sad I don't get to travel with them as much now, with my Impact schedule, but you know, I see they're doing well, so makes me happy.
Now, you also had an absolutely killer match at Black Label Pro with Jordan Grace, that may be among the top three or four matches in that promotion's history. Talk about intergender a little bit. Talk about your match with Jordan specifically, but talk about intergender a little bit, because it's kind of a topic that some people shy away from, but some people really embrace with open arms. Talk about that match with Jordan specifically and your attitude towards intergender.
I just think wrestling is wrestling, and mm-hmm. as long as you can find a way to make it believable, there's no reason why you shouldn't put forth the effort to do that. So, like, I don't know. I don't think anything we did was out of the realm of possibility. I'm not going out there and trying to, like, offend anybody's suspension of disbelief, so I don't know. I think it's silly for people not to try and entertain the fact that we're entertaining people. So we're not actually fighting.
Oh yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm a man the size of Spike Dudley wrestling someone like Bam Bam Bigelow. Like, that might have ended with one punch if this was mixed martial arts, but it's not. We're out there to entertain people, so. Do you put the best you can with what you're given. So, I mean, intergender wrestling definitely deserves to be a part of wrestling.
I definitely agree. And you from there as well, you know, Jordan's, you know, obviously a part of Impact as well, and we'll talk about Impact. At what point did you catch on with Impact?
I'm going on almost 2.5 years now.
And you started in with the Joseph Park and the Park storyline, correct? The Chandler Park storyline?
Yes.
I've heard he is an amazing guy. I've heard he's the nicest human being on the planet.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I mean, Abyss, but I mean, you as well, obviously. But I mean, Abyss, Joseph Park, I've heard he is the nicest human being you've ever, you could ever possibly deal with.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
So how has Impact Wrestling evolved over your time there? I know there's been some channel changes and things like that. I know been some roster turnover and things, but I think that it seems to be on an upswing now, and you guys are about to get on Access TV. Talk about the evolution of Impact Wrestling just in the last 2.5 years.
Well, just to look at the roster from when I started to where it is now, a lot of the wrestlers that weren't in the position they were in now are top guys, and they've developed and become exactly what they're supposed to be. And you have guys like myself and Josh Alexander fulfilling the duty of being the top tag team, and Josh has not even been there for a year. So guys are seizing opportunity, and you can see that by the quality of the shows. And I think once we get on Access, we'll be able to actually show everybody how talented the locker room has been for the last year and a bit. It just sucks that nobody's been able to watch it because of the channel it was on.
Yeah, because I was going to say, just, you know, speaking from personal experience, and I know it seems to be the opinion of a lot of the Twitter sphere, for better or for worse, I know a lot of us have given Impact a lot of chances and have been burned a lot. And now that here's an opportunity for a fresh start again, you know, give me the hard sell, you know, on why, you know, why we give it another chance. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, you and Josh kind of at the top of a tag team realm, and you know.
Yeah, it's just it's not the show that people were burned on. You know, all those people are gone. Everything we've been doing have been like pretty much in the dark ever since Scott D'Amore and Don Callis came on board. We jumped from where were we? I believe the last channel where we were on was Pop TV, and then we went down to, I can't remember.
It was called Pursuit.
Yes, Pursuit. Yeah. And once we went to Pursuit, like I think there was another one in between, but
oh, okay. fuck if I know. Like,
yeah. You know what? Me too. I'm sorry.
You work for him, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
I know I didn't get the channel, and I know it was on Twitch, but like, you know, I'm an old man. I was trying to figure out Twitch, and there's a chat room going on and all that sort of shit. I'm just like, this is crazy, and I'm working anyways, and I don't know if I can watch this at work. But, you know, so I'm definitely someone who sticks to cable. So when I heard you guys were going on Access, I'm like, oh, okay, I can get back into this routine now. And then when I heard you're on Tuesday nights, it's like, I don't have something Tuesday night. So this is pretty cool.
No, it's great. Like Tuesday at 8 p.m. is much better than Friday at 10 or 11 p.m. I can't even remember what time we were. It was just so sad. Like, it sucks. Nobody wants to stay up that late. Plus, it's a Friday night. That's people's time to go out. So this is going to be a much better position for us to be able to actually get people to sit in front of their TVs and finally see what we've been doing. Like I said, the last couple of years, I honestly think that Impact has had the best 2 hours of professional wrestling, especially with storytelling and character development. And then some in ring, man, like there's matches that we've had that people haven't seen, and it sucks because they've been some of the best wrestling in the world. It's just the viewership dropped off, and now it's time to change that.
Now, who are some of the other talent and Impact that, you know, because a lot of the audience on Place to Be Nation and stuff like that are, you know, old WWE fans and stuff like that, people who might have picked up Impact in the early 2000s or you know, mid-2010s and stuff like that and haven't tuned into Impact in a long time. Who are some of the talent that people should watch out for or people might know? You know, who are some of those names that that will really strike your fancy if you're tuning into Impact on Tuesday on Access?
Oh, man. Oh, I want to just talk about myself.
Well, like, I mean, obviously, you know, but
for real, though, like the tag division and Impact, like you got guys like myself and Josh Alexander going up against guys like Willie Mack and Rich Swann or the Rascals. And like these are all new age hybrid wrestlers doing things and being creative in ways that nobody's doing on mainstream TV for wrestling. And like I can say that with confidence, like they blow me away and I'm on the roster. So and then you got literally the heavyweight champion that every company wants, Brian Cage. He is carved stone,
not a human being. I've met him in person. No. And he's not of this species.
Yeah, he's a living action figure. Like, and again, this is somebody that the world is going to fall in love with just because look at him. How could you not? You know, he looks like the prototypical children's creator wrestler, and he's like in real life, flesh and blood, on our TV, on Access, every Tuesday at 8 p.m.
And he moves like a gymnast, by the way.
I know, it's insane.
It's ridiculous.
He's a freak.
Yeah, you guys definitely have the talent on the roster. It's been in a vacuum for the last year or so, and that's been a shame too, because you know that there's some quality talent there, and the women's division's quality too. Knockouts
like,
division, or is it, they change?
No, it is. It is
okay.
The knockouts.
Okay, division. I didn't know if there was a change there or not. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Still knockouts division, and you know, some we're even doing intergender wrestling now. Tessa Blanchard has wrestled Sami Callihan on two of our pay-per-views in matches that have stolen the show.
She's very good.
She's one of the best.
She's absolutely fantastic. So you got all sorts of, you know, different talent going around. And then Access Television, that's, you know, people are already used to tuning into that for New Japan. You know, the Women of Wrestling show is there. There's a lot of MMA there. I think it's a good home for you guys. Because it's something that welcomes professional wrestling.
Yeah, and hopefully it gets good crossover viewership with all the other programs, and you know, we can all help each other out.
And you're definitely one too who you're great as far as, you know, you're very comfortable on the microphone and you're great promoting Impact and you're great as far as like being a good face of the brand as well. Do you feel a sense of responsibility to the brand?
I mean, I feel like every company I've worked in, I've felt the responsibility of just doing my job and promoting them because they're the ones that are paying me, you know, like, it's like being on a sports team. At least that's the way I feel. Like, you can get traded and you go somewhere else. Well, that's the place that you're going to promote the most, you know?
A lot of guys don't do that, though. You do it better than 99.999% of wrestlers, actually getting your stuff out there and promoting what you're actually on and promoting the brands you're on. So, you need to start doing, you know, lessons in like social media training and things along those lines if you're not already doing it, because
People say I should do that and I disagree because then everyone would be doing what I'm doing and fair. I don't want
fair. Speaking of that, you have a vlog that is fantastic.
Thank you. And you're
I think if you're not the only one doing it, the only one doing it well. I'll say that much. Talk about what inspired that and what happens on that and what people can expect to see on your vlog.
Honestly, what inspired it was my wife. I've done one before and kind of given up on it. She inspired that one and then kind of told me to do this one, get better equipment and kind of take it more serious. So we invested big time and got good camera, good computer. And I've been full bore trying to get as much content and build up my YouTube channel as I can. And, you know, every single Wednesday I drop almost a 20-minute video giving people a backstage look at what an independent and TV wrestler does while traveling and, you know, where I eat, who I hang out with, what I do, what I see, the drama, the comedy, the craziness, the travel. It's all in there. And
it's way better than being the elite. I'm just going to say it right now.
Okay. Appreciate the compliment.
It genuinely is. Honestly and truly, it's way more honest. It's way more real. It's way more true to life. It's not hokey. It's just genuine. And it's really, really cool to see.
Well, thank you. And that's what it's meant to be. I actually want to document what's actually going on in my life so that when my daughter grows up, she can actually watch it and not think that it's a bunch of skits. I wanted to actually see what's going on in my life. So that's why I only really feature my friends and the people I enjoy hanging out with and talking to.
Yeah. The cameos you get in that thing are absolutely hysterical too. The random wrestler appearances you get in that thing. That's what I watch it for, is just like what random wrestler is going to show up in at this time and what wacky shit are they going to do?
Well, the one that came out today is pretty crazy that happened over StarCast. So if you haven't seen that one, enjoy it.
Oh, I haven't grabbed it yet. I've had my daughter all day, I'm definitely going to sit down and watch that too. That sounds great. Now, what are your goals going forward? Obviously, kind of help grow the Impact brand and stuff like that. Help grow your brand. But what, you know, you seem like a very goal oriented person. Where do you see yourself 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now?
For me, all my goals moving forward are just financial. To be completely honest, I just want to improve my financial state, help my family, you know, put some money away for the future and actually plan for my daughter's education and stuff like that. So that's really it for me. Like superstardom would be great. And, you know, my career will grow with time. It just seems to be on the upward rise and like the snowball effect, like it takes less time to grow and it seems. So I'm just kind of just going with the flow with that, but trying to improve everything financially.
Well, you've also really invested in yourself, especially over the last, you know, couple of years or so. You know, you invested in your, you know, you made a noticeable change in your physical appearance. The social media stuff, you know, you seem to be one honestly and truly who, you know, really is banking on yourself.
Yeah, and that's it. I'm just pushing it as far as I can until it finally pays off. And yeah, I mean, it takes work, but I feel if you could work harder than everybody else, I mean, you should be able to get the results.
Well, Ethan, I really appreciate it. Give us all the plugs, and plug everything, and tell us where we can see you, how we can see you, why we can see the vlog, how we can catch up with you on social media, and I won't keep any longer.
Yeah, sure. The biggest thing for me is my Twitter. It's my most active social media. It's at Official Ego. My blog comes out every single Wednesday on youtube.com/EthanPageVlog. My Instagram is at official_ego. And if you want to support me, you can by buying a t-shirt. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/EthanPage.
Well, thank you, sir. And then we can obviously start seeing you this coming Tuesday night on Access TV on Impact.
There you go. And check out IWTV.live as well. I wrestle for so many companies on that app. You could put it on your iPhone. You could put it on Android. You could put it on your Apple TV. It's awesome. Check it out. Use promo code Alpha1, ALPHA, the number one. You could get 20 days for free when you sign up. And check out my promotion on there, too.
Fantastic. Well, Ethan, I really appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much, and best of luck in everything going forward, and best of luck being a TV star once again this coming Tuesday night.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. First off, check out our weekly show as the Hard Traveling Fanboys attempted to fix the terrible 2000 film. My film Electric can it be done? Find out and fix it or nix it. DC4U wraps up September with the new current events, looking at all the big DC comics, TV, and movie news for the month, as well as picking their top DC books for the month. This week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of game and previewing the upcoming weekly batch. Brother Sister Rewatch podcast on episode 17. They're bringing The Office season 3, episodes 5 and 6. Pop Goes to Movies, where Scott and Jennifer review the highly anticipated sequel to Stephen King's It. Laughing Theater number 11, Andy welcomes Jason Sherman live to watch Bill the Ted's Excellent Adventure. Looking forward, looking back in the summer movie recap and wager results, Andy is joined by Miranda, Scott, and Tim and Russell to see who won. The greatest song of the 80s tournament continues. We're in the regional finals, round 8, the Sweet 16. There'll be 2 polls a day posted for round 6. You can get in the action on Facebook by searching BTPM's Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament and liking the page. Be sure to weigh in. And with the Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament, we will soon be announcing our fall tournament, so stay tuned. Over the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, Wrestling Warzone is back with episode 30 featuring Clash of the Champions 32. On the 5th episode of Three-Way Dance, JT, Jenny, and John dance their way through 3 episodes of Extreme Hardcore TV from March and April of 94. Main Event 133 previews Clash of the Champions. They go back to 2002 for the XTNA Classic pay-per-view recap. Then be sure to check out the Clash of Champions reaction show with Zellner and Devin Hales. Peter Winston and Steve Bennett wrap up the series, breaking down their favorite all-time sports seasons on the Adams Division. Jenny, Matt, and Drew and Scott dip into the Hidden Gems for review Bookie Jam 84 and Jenny and the Gems. Every Wednesday on Place to Be Nation, we get the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk. College football fans Scott Coscolo and Logan Carson have their weekly campus hot takes, looking back on the previous week, looking ahead the biggest matchups. Catch the weekly column every Wednesday afternoon. If you're doing online shopping on Amazon.com, please sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of Place to Be Nation, or use the PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon. Takes you right to Amazon and helps out Place to Be Nation with no cost to you. Check out our social media pages and message board at BigLoader34.ProBards.com, or joining our GWE and PPV and TV Match Ever project. Get in the conversation today and start researching your lists.